All right, so we are ready to go live momentarily on YouTube. Make sure the chat is there so that it's not and there's the chat. Okay, good. So now it's time to promote and post and here. Oh, I meant to put that in public. Okay, and edit privacy to public, and ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to Suds in the Squared Circle podcast, Suds News. I am here. I am Vinny. Christy will be here joining me momentarily. She's doing some stuff I had going on a few minutes early. Yeah, like I said, Christy is going to be a few minutes late. She is at her parents for Thanksgiving holiday, a couple weeks. So that is absolutely why she will be joining us a little late today. But it's okay. It really is. Because before we get into any Port Charles news, any general hospitals news, okay, got a lot to go over for the WWE, for wrestling in general. We had Survivor Series this past week. Fantastic show. Let me tell you something. Now that we are fully entrenched in the Triple H era of WWE booking, they're firing on all cylinders. And I have to say, I am very thankful for Triple H being in that position. I have to tell you, it was absolutely fantastic. And I enjoyed it. I have to say that I was really I was really happy. I made sure to get home Saturday night. Now, Saturday, we did get together as a family to put up my sister's Christmas tree. I made sure to get home in time to watch the Survivor Series because of the fact that there was so much that was happening. Let me just go over. First of all, I'm going to talk to Matt from the 10th floor. He and I may do a watch along of the men's War Games match this year, which it was probably the best match on the card. Gunther and the Miz were awesome. Now, let me just kind of go over what I have to say, because I kind of upset a few people this week on X. Because Busted Open put out, you know, like they normally do, how did you rank Survivor Series? And I went ahead and I said, overall, the event was an 8. What brought it, it would have been a 10, but what brought it down for me was the women's War Games match. I did not like the women's War Games match. And I got so much hate on there for me. But you know what? Here's the thing. Here's why I didn't like the women's War Games match. I didn't like it because it was, and Jim Cornette has talked about a lot about it. I make no bones about the fact that I am a Jim Cornette fan. I listen to his both of his podcasts every week. And I, even though I don't necessarily agree with him when it comes to politics, I agree with him 100%. When it comes to wrestling. Now, what I did not like about the Women's War Games match was that it put a hat in a hat. Literally, that's exactly what it did. Was it put a gimmick on top of a gimmick. What do I mean by that? Well, when Shotzi came in and started to go ahead and put all the chairs and the tables and all the weapons into the ring. It just got so watered down. It's like the cage itself, the War Games match is the gimmick. The War Games cage is the gimmick. That is what you'd use to fight, you know, use a cage as a weapon. And now with the WWE, they took the top off, so now you can jump off. Fine, I get that. But when you've got Io Sky, who is the WWE Women's Champion, right? On the top of the cage with a, putting a garbage can over her head, and then jumping off to a collection of women, right? It's just like, and then knocking them down like bowling pins. It's like, you can't even suspend your disbelief with that, because in any reality, you see somebody doing that, you move out of the way, let them hit themselves, you know, fall to the ground, kill themselves, right? And then they're the ones with the broken neck, and you go on pummeling them because they're idiot who put a trash can on top of their head. I'm sorry, but I'm very adamant. I don't like it. It looked like any garbage AEW match, right? I'm just not a fan of that type of wrestling. And, you know, it's... So the Women's War Games match started it, right? So you had Bianca Belair, Shotzi, Charlotte Flair, and Becky Lynch against Damage Control, Bayley, and Io Sky, Kairi Sane, and Asuka, right? And then, you know, the babyface team won like they should have. They put Bayley through the table. I have a feeling that Bayley and Dakota Kai are going to, well, at least Bayley, is going to be kicked out of Damage Control at some point soon. Simply because you've got Kairi Sane, Io Sky, and Asuka together in the same faction. They all have history with each other. They all are, they're all friendly from the Japan days. You know, it's like that old Sesame Strong. One of these things just doesn't belong here. And that's Bayley. Dakota Kai hasn't been wrestling. She's more of a managerial role in this faction. So it is what it is when it comes to Damage Control and Dakota Kai. But I do see Becky or Bayley leaving pretty soon. Becky and Charlotte on the same page. You know, they teased kind of getting involved, getting into a little bit of a skirmish, but cooler heads prevailed. They, you know, put bygones, put everything, you know, in the past aside, whatever. Then we had, let's see, you had The Miz, or no, I'm sorry, you had Dragon Lee against Santos Escobar. Carlito apparently got injured earlier in the week or earlier in the day, so he couldn't wrestle. So Dragon Lee stepped up. Dragon Lee is going to end up joining the LWO, and they're going to have the LWO united, you know, especially with Rey Mysterio when he comes back to promote Dragon Lee. He's a fantastic talent. He's over on, you know, he been over ever since NXT. He is the brother of two AEW stars, Jalisco and Roosh, I believe. So those are, they're all three brothers. And he's on SmackDown now. He's doing great. Dragon Lee is a fantastic athlete. It's a lucha match. You know, nothing I can, you know, not get away, you know, not enjoy. I'm not a huge high flying fan, you know, but it's good when it's sprinkled out throughout the show. When WCW Nitro did it, where you had the cruiserweights starting the show, then you get into the, you know, the mid card and the heavyweights later on, the main eventers. Not everybody did flying. I get it. It's a new era and that's what it is. But either way, great match. You had Gunther versus the Miz, which outside of the War Games match, probably the best match on the show. Miz came very close to breaking Gunther's record-setting Intercontinental title reign. But Gunther pulled it out. And let me tell you something. For those of you who hate on the Miz because he's the epitome of sports entertainer, right? You know, he's got the reality show. He's been in movies. You know, he came over from the real world. But you know, that man has freaking paid his dues. He's been with the WWE now for about 18 years, almost 20 years in the WWE. He's paid his dues. He's a two-time Grand Slam champion. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer, no doubt about it. Again, thank you for joining us. If you know, if you're watching right now, we will get into the General Hospital information later on, momentarily, I would think, when Chrissy joins in. But I want to at least get the wrestling stuff out of the way before she came in. Let's see. You had Rhea Ripley against Zoe Stark. Good match. You know, Zoe's still kind of green. She's just not there yet. But, you know, but Rhea was, you know, there. Rhea was ready to go. And Rhea defended the title flawlessly and proves that mommy is still on top. And then we got into the men's War Games match. Yeah, we don't have any other Roman Reigns. There's no Bloodline represented on the show this time. I think there's the first pay-per-view with no Bloodline in quite a while. Because even if Roman's not there, Jimmy would be there or Solo. But no Bloodline at all on this Survivor Series. However, the thread throughout the show was that Randy Orton wasn't going to make it. And that, you know, he just wasn't at the, you know, at the building yet. That was the ongoing thread throughout the show. Jey Uso said, you know, it's my fault. He's mad at me. I'm the reason why he's hurt, blah, 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 blah. You know, and of course, you see, as they pan the crowd, you see, you know, Kim Orton in the crowd. So, you know, he's there. So that kind of, and the entire internet's like, you know, why worry about speculation? You know, Ward's going to be there. And sure enough, he was. Men's War Games match was fantastic. Cody Rhodes, Jey Uso, Sami Zayn, Randy Orton, and Seth Rollins against Judgment Day, Damian Priest, Finn Balor, JD McDonagh, and Dominic Mysterio, and Drew McIntyre. You know, they teased the dissension between McIntyre and Priest, which, you know what, it's okay, because, you know, they're both alpha males. Damian Priest is the leader of Judgment Day when it comes to the War Games, as denoted by Rhea Ripley. And then, you know, Drew McIntyre's on his own. He's just there for revenge against Jey Uso. Because the Usos were the ones that cost the title of, you know, at Clash of the Castle for Drew McIntyre. But you know what? It is what it is. However, the final match, or the final surprise of the night, CM Punk returned to the WWE after nearly a decade to a huge pop. And as far as we know, from what I've heard, that contract was signed earlier that day. And it came together very quickly, according to Triple H. CM Punk back in the WWE. He was on Raw tonight. I did not watch it. I'll watch it tomorrow on Hulu. And Chrissy has joined us now. Chrissy, welcome. And happy belated Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Happy belated Thanksgiving.
How are you doing today?
I'm okay. I'm doing okay. I'm ready to go home. I've been at my parents' for over a week now, which reminds me that living with my parents is not ideal. And I miss my babies. I miss my fur babies. My cat Whiskers has been crying for me for days. My spiritual mom has been taking care of my cats. But as some of you know, as cat owners, your cats will actually stop eating if you're gone for an extended period of time.
Oh, really?
So my cats haven't really been eating that much. So, yeah. I'm as much of their emotional support. Like, they're my emotional support animal, but I'm also their emotional support animal. So it goes both ways. It truly does.
I did not know that.
Yes.
We've always had somebody come, like, anytime I've gone on vacation, even growing up, and when we had a cat, we always had somebody come every day to take care of them. So it's like, it wasn't that they were left alone long for, you know, days on end. It was just so that could be why we never I never noticed.
Yeah.
But you know, it is what it is. Anyways, we had four episodes of GH last week. Normally on a Thanksgiving week, we only get three, but we did get four. They did have a Thanksgiving Day episode because apparently they were just trying to catch up from all the preemptions they've had this year. At least that's from what I've heard. You know, one of the bigger surprises that I saw was on Thursday's episode was that there was no pizza at the Quartermain Thanksgiving. Now, obviously from what I saw, I believe at the very end, the Thanksgiving meal was ruined somehow.
Yeah,
I forgot
it
how
always
it
is.
was. But either way, it was just they ended up not ordering pizza on screen from Luigi's like they normally do, which was a switch because every year, and they didn't sing either. They didn't sing We Gather Together, which is another Quartermain tradition. How did you enjoy this week's episodes of General Hospital?
You know, they were good. It was kind of a mixed bag for me. I was just kind of like, most of it I didn't really care for. I was happy to see we got some Brooklyn and Shaylin on Friday and some Sasha and Cody. Other than that, I was just kind of like same old GH, you know, for me. You know, there were some spots that were nice, but other than that, I just it was kind of it was an okay week. I do like that we're seeing more of like Lois's family. We're seeing Lois's mom. So that was cool. That was cool to see that history throwback. So that was kind of like those were the highlights for me, but other than that, I was just kind of like eh. Same old GH, same old, so I mean, there was that whole Sabrina fight too. I'm sure we'll get into about Monday. So, yeah, the Sabrina discussion, but they—I mean—they made up, but it was just like, I still feel like they're going to keep fighting.
I
They
have a
don't
feeling they're going to keep fighting as
over.
well. But I did kind of like how they each took time to talk to somebody else. Like, I mean, I apologize. That was a week prior. I'm looking at this past Monday, Monday's notes. They did have a fight, and it's simply because of the fact that Spencer is just so obsessed with, you know, with Esme and Ace and almost being a father figure. Like he's just obsessed at this point. You know, he from what I saw, he slept outside Trina's door,
Did.
dorm, you know, the dorm door overnight, and she's like, "You can get me in trouble with the RA," and she's like, "I, you know, I just wanted to talk to you." You know, and he sent her numerous flowers and everything, trying to, but see, here's the thing: it's like, do you think he just talked to appease her, just to kind of make up with her, you know, and just said what he thought she wanted to hear?
I almost feel that way because he so desperately wants to hold on to Trina. But he also so desperately wants to hold on to controlling the living atmosphere with Ace and Esme, and he knows he can't have both. So, in a way, I want to believe it was a sincere apology and they really made up, but on the other hand, I'm like, I still feel like I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. Like, okay, it's resolved for now, for right now. Until the issue comes up again.
Yeah, I think, and until Esme actually says, "Hey, we've got a place now, as you know, Ace and I are moving here on this date," what's Spencer going to do at that point? And what's he gonna, he's gonna go off the wall, or he'll try to put a stop to it somehow, and he's gonna end up, I don't know, because I know he's upset with Laura for saying that she would co-sign or, pay for the help, pay for rent or whatever the case is, which, you know what, that's a great thing, that she's stepping up and including Esme and family and, with the baby. But I honestly feel like Spencer is going to, he's going to try to sabotage that in some form or fashion.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah. I don't see this being the end of.
No, it's not.
That whole thing. I think this was just kind of, let me make up with Trina for now and make her believe I really still care and love her and want to make this work, even though I'm still trying to control this situation with Esme. Yeah, it's difficult because I don't think he wants to admit that he wants to be able to control where Esme is going to be with Ace. And he, he's making it more difficult, I think, than it has to be.
Right.
Because this could be a really simple thing where he goes, okay, you know what? You're right. I've been a little over the top and I'm acting like I'm more of the father than the brother. And so let me take a step back and maybe I'll figure out some like days with what would be good is if he did the mature decision and he said, you know what, I will let Esme move out and we can, and I'm going to make our relationship a priority. I've already decided with Esme, I will see my brother on these 3-4 days of the week.
Right.
And, every Friday and Saturday I will be with you, or figure out like some kind of a schedule so it's clear that you're making your relationship a priority, because it seems like he's making Ace the number one priority. So I think that was his conversation with Josh too, is like, what is your priority here? Is it really you and Trina? Because she's really starting to feel like an afterthought. So
You're absolutely right. And we really didn't see too much of them this week. Although, it's just Portia is starting to get happy because she thinks that they're over. She thinks that, they're done. And I don't know why they're just making Portia just so unwatchable. Like she just, even with her interactions with Curtis, it's like she's just so wedged in there, to the point where it's almost like she's an unnecessary character, even though she's an unnecessary character in the stories that she's in. The only one that she really has to be in is the one with Finn with the malpractice.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only storyline that she really has to be in. Can she be in the one with Curtis because it's her husband? Yes, but not to the point where, we have to hear her whine because, he can't, do everything he wants to do. He's trying to push her away before. And she didn't respect boundaries of anybody in her family.
Well, she is kind of almost being written like in a villain type way, almost in these storylines. Like you don't want to like her anymore, even though she, I'm sure, is actually by herself. I'm sure Portia is actually a perfectly likable character.
Yeah,
she keeps doing these things that make her not likable.
Yeah,
it's fine when she's at the hospital doing her thing at the hospital and working. Like I like her more in her hospital scenes, but whenever she's, being the person who's opposing the Sabrina relationship and the Curtis thing and being annoying with Curtis, it's like, You may it's not it's hard to like want to root for her character in any sense
Yeah.
in those their scenes.
Right.
So yeah. Which sucks because I'm sure like I think the actress is really amazing. So
Oh
I
yeah,
just want to
Brooke Curry's fantastic.
make that distinction there because a lot of, you know, it that happens a lot that we see on social media where people can't make the difference between the character and the actress.
Yeah.
So I think Brooke is amazing and lovely. And I think the character is actually great. I think she's a great mom. I think she just comes off as very overprotective and she oversteps
Right. Exactly.
boundaries. That's the issue.
Exactly. And again, welcome to the live feed. Everybody's here that's watching. Make sure you hit subscribe, get notified. Again, and if you're listening on the podcast, again, make sure to give us a five-star review on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts, and Spotify and everywhere else you find our podcast. All right, let's go from the top. Monday, you had Dante and Chase looking at a body in a bag, in a body bag. I thought was it Monday or Tuesday, either way, but I honestly thought that was going to be Austin. We saw nothing in terms of Austin being found or Austin being taken to the hospital or anything with Austin this week in terms of who shot him. So, you know, we know that Roger Howarth already filmed his final scenes, and those were his final scenes, but you still kind of have to tie up that loose end.
Well, if they're not doing that and they're not showing Austin's body and we're not getting like any kind of closure there, that makes me think that they're going to bring him back from the dead at some point that he didn't really or that he didn't really die in the first place
Yeah.
and it was all set up like we thought.
Of all
So
the Roger Howarth characters to do that too, it had to be Austin, which was probably the worst character of Roger Howarth in my opinion. Not that Roger Howarth is bad, but the character itself was not written correctly or written in the right way.
Yeah, it was just the writing I don't think was ever truly there. I think they had trouble really pinpointing what where they wanted the character to go and they tried a couple avenues and nothing was really quite working because the majority of the time Austin was on screen, I found him highly annoying.
Yeah.
So it's just it didn't hit the mark. I think they were hoping you know, they would make with the character of Austin. It never really
No, it
clicked for
never
me.
gelled. Nope.
Never really worked. He had some chemistry with Mora West, and I did think they had some chemistry. But then like I said before, that was a flash in the pan. That was supposed to be a one-time thing. I thought they were building them up to be a couple because that's what it kind of looked like for a while, and then that just didn't happen. And then I don't think anyone ever really liked Austin and Maxie together. I just don't think that ever really hit a good fan base there. I don't think that was ever really a popular pairing either. So it was just kind of like they tried and they failed with Austin and like, yeah.
But however, they find out that the body is the former WSB agent Forsythe. And that's confirmed by Dante. Well, they found his pet multiple passports and IDs, and they ran it through the system. And then they had Anna come and verify the body that it was him. So maybe he was the one that shot it, and maybe it was Anna the target. He's the one that shot Anna. Maybe he was the one that set fire to Anna, but then it doesn't explain who killed him. So, you know, I mean, the fact that he was in Port Charles, which just a very random fact where you have, you know, Anna finally find the name and the books and the notes, and they're fine, and then they're stolen, and then the guy is killed. Almost leads me to believe that Anna found that out and ran over him because I guess he was hit with a car. Of course, they're playing it as if Anna didn't know that it was a surprise when she saw the body. Who knows? I don't know that story. The story right now is just very discombobulated in some form or fashion. I know they're They're trying to bring everything together, but it, in my opinion, it's going in so many different directions, it's hard to keep up with. Like you've got Charlotte, harassing Anna, breaking into the house, going through her stuff, vandalizing her hotel room. And that's because of Victor's brainwashing. That's great. But now why did they add in the wrinkle where her notes about Forsythe are missing and then the guy turns up dead? It's just like pick one storyline, unless it's going to end up becoming an umbrella storyline where multiple people are involved.
Right. I mean, it's a little confusing because it wants to believe it's Charlotte doing all this stuff, but then we still have this like WSB element to it. So it's like you don't really know where it's going and where they're going to find a resolution of the storyline. It doesn't seem like they I feel like GH writers half the time don't even know where they're going with it. I feel
Right.
like they kind of start it and they're like, we'll figure it out along the way. And then it just gets kind of lost. And I don't know. Maybe they do have a clear direction of where they're going. I just can't see it at this point. Like,
I can't either.
I don't really get what's going on most of the time. I just like, oh, it's Charlotte. It's really Charlotte. Because at first I thought maybe like they set it up to look
Right.
like it's Charlotte, but it's not really Charlotte. And maybe that's still sort of the case, but all this evidence points to Charlotte. I don't know. It's all very
Yeah,
confusing.
it's disconnected somehow.
It's connected.
Because and then you have Anna going in to see Charlotte at the hospital, and that turned out to be a huge, huge mistake, which it's in Anna's character though. I get it. Anna's the one that just goes in there like a bulldog and hey Nathan, thanks for joining tonight. Anna goes in there like a bulldog and wants to get to the bottom of things and explain this and explain that without realizing how much harm that she could be doing to Charlotte. And Elizabeth has to get her out and say, you're not allowed to go in there. Valentine's, comes in and is like, what the hell are you trying to do? And then, Valentine's, or Anna confronts Valentine saying, you think it's my fault? And he goes, no, it's mine. But just kind of leaves it at that. But it's like, what about a, and they tried to shrink with Kevin and she just kind of poo-pooed that around. The fact is I really want to see some kind of a big part for Jake because he recognizes, Cassadine brainwashing. I want to see that because as of right now, Charlotte is convinced that Anna's out to kill her and hurt her father. I just, I just wish they would have a little bit more Jake in there because he knows what it's like.
Yeah, I would like that too. I'm not holding my breath on that because I just know GH, and usually my hopes for things to be characters to be included or little things that I think could make the story better usually don't happen.
Right.
So, not holding my breath. But yeah, I mean, I think it would be nice, especially for Jake to at least visit Charlotte, like have some hospital visits with Jake and Charlotte. I think that would make sense. At least at the very least that we ha maybe that's coming, but we just haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, no, you're right. I completely agree. I mean, Charlotte is home from the hospital now. Valentina and Laura brought her home, and and she's obviously got some PTSD from getting shot. Who wouldn't? That's got to be worked out. I don't know if they're gonna have Kevin do it because maybe it's a conflict of interest for Kevin because he's, her step grandfather or whatever. Yeah, step grandfather. And they tried it before, and she kind of just told him what he wanted to hear and kept things hidden. I want to see if maybe they'll bring Andre Maddox back. because he has history, you know, he has a, you know, a experience with brainwashing. They can't bring Neil back because he's dead. Which that was probably the most convoluted storyline in history. I am sorry, when Neil died. But all right, so keeping in the hospital wing, Jocelyn brings Adam to the hospital because he started to, what was it, passing out in class or you know, something,
He had a panic attack
yeah,
during
panic
one of
attack in
the
class. That's what it was, yeah.
games. Yeah, I was just like, oh my gosh, this is such a mess.
What, you know, I want to know what kind of story they're doing with him. Are they doing one where, you know, the kid is under so much pressure that he ends up committing suicide or tries to, you know, I don't know if that's going to, you know, if soaps would go to that extreme. I don't know, especially
Right.
with what happened to Billy Miller not too long ago. So I don't know if they'll necessarily go in that direction, but it could also
No.
be a thing of, you know, a college student having too much pressure on him, feeling he's taking Adderall or speed or some kind of a medication to stay up all night and ends up ODing.
I could see that probably is
Yeah.
a more likely possibility.
Yeah. So I don't, you know, I want to, I'm anxious to see where they go. I don't know if, I don't know. Like, it's so hard for me because I was never in that position myself. So I don't know how that's, you know, how that's going to work out. But the fact that it's, you know, Joshua Bernard playing Adam, I'm sure Maurice has a lot of input into that story and that character.
Probably so. I'm really more concerned about his like fixation on Josh. He thinks Jocelyn is like his savior in this whole situation with him like passing his exams, and I'm like, dude, dude has some psychiatric stuff that needs to obviously be checked out. Because like Elizabeth's wheeling him away, and he was like, "Don't leave me," or something like that. And
Yeah.
I'm like, dude,
Something there.
I'm concerned about that for sure. And I'm sure it's just more amped up because of the drugs he's on, but. I'm like really concerned, even for. I think I'm honestly concerned for like Jocelyn's safety around that guy because it
Yeah.
seems like he's really seriously obsessed with her to the point where he's like depending on the drugs to like keep him awake, studying all night for tests. And Jocelyn, and like, how dare she not be available when he needs a study buddy? Like,
Right. You think so? Do
it's
you think
very
this
strange
panic
behavior.
attack? Do you think this panic attack was to get Joss's attention, and you know, it was staged and it wasn't real? I mean, you know, she did bring him to the hospital, she did the right thing. You know, and now she has to make up that test or whatever they were doing that day. I, you know, it's like I don't, it could, you know, it could be something like that just to get her attention. You know, the
Yeah,
fact
I think
that she
it's
didn't want,
possible.
he didn't want to be seen by a doctor. Because you got to think about it this way. I would assume, well, they're over 18, so they don't necessarily have to call their parents. I mean, because they're adults, but I mean, I would assume someone would contact, you know, his family to say, hey, you know, your son was treated for a panic attack. I don't know, especially because HIPAA laws and, you know, being an
No,
adult.
it depends who he's got on his emergency contact list.
Yeah.
God, I hope it's not Jocelyn.
Yeah, exactly.
I wouldn't want that to be the case. So I hope it's his parents that is his emergency contacts, obviously. But something is off there mentally that I'm guessing they're going to explore because Something is mentally wrong with the guy if he's like thinking it's okay to take all this
Yeah.
Adderall. And I don't think it's just the pressure of the parents.
No,
Like, I
it's
feel
not.
like there's something other than that they're alluding to that we have not seen yet.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's might be another confrontation with him getting a little too handsy with Joss. And then hopefully Dex will intervene or something, or maybe she'll have to fight Adam off herself. I don't know, but I'm kind of worried for that girl's safety with this guy Adam around. It's
Well, it's almost like he's fixated on Joss ever since he saw the sex tape with Cameron. And, because he's
oh,
the one that went up to her at Charlie's and said, "Hey, I saw that. You think I can get a piece of it?" And she kind of put him in his place then. And then, he apologized, whatever. They live in the same dorm. So, now they study together, and she's alone with him many times. So one has to wonder if that's when maybe he's still watching that revenge porn, even though Spinelli took it all down. Maybe he has it downloaded or
he's
on
kind
a flash drive or something, and
of
just waiting to make his move. It could be. Maybe that's where they're going with it, and that's why he's so obsessed with being around her, because he thinks he can, woo her, instead of her being with Dex.
He's got no chance. Sorry, buddy. Dexter, so just, I don't think that's gonna happen, bro. I think you gotta face reality. Sorry. I wouldn't if I was in her position. I've
Yeah.
got this hot guy who, other than the fact that he's working for Sonny, I'm like really in love with this hot, wounded guy who's got a heart of gold. Like, I ain't giving that up either. I mean, granted, we still know next to nothing about Dex,
Yeah.
but tomato, tomato. I don't know what to say. I still would be wanting Dex 100% because this guy is like, something is wrong up there. And I think Josh can tell too. Like, something is not right with this guy.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's one thing if Jocelyn kind of recognizes that he's having a problem, and he ends up and she ends up helping him overcome his addiction, overcome his habit, overcome, the pressures of a family, whatever the case may be. But then you go, then again, you go to the Florence Nightingale effect, and he could end up falling in love with her. And then, like, it's a vicious cycle, whatever way you look at it. I'm intrigued by it. Let me put it that way. I'm intrigued as to where they're going to go. I don't want them to do some kind of a, teen suicide angle.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
really don't want to see that. And let me first put this out there. I don't edit myself when I say words, because I know there's a lot of shows that I listen to, a lot of shows that I watch that try to candy coat certain words because of a YouTube algorithm. I will put it out there. I don't edit myself. Yes, I want viewers. Yes, I want, to be found. But I also feel like there are real situations in life that happen, and I have no problem saying words, because I'm sorry, but words to me are just words. And if you're gonna sugarcoat something or go around your elbow to get to your hand, that's on you. That's your choice. Whatever. I choose not to edit myself. So that's, because I know there are a lot of people that talk about, there was somebody who, I think I read somewhere on Facebook, where somebody considered it unaliving themselves. And it's like, what the hell are you talking about? But I think that's all nonsense. But regardless of that fact, I get off my soapbox at this point. Let's kind of move on. I don't know whether or not this storyline is even bringing in people to watch, but Ned and Michael and Drew, again with the same old thing about ELQ offering Ned the COO position. Michael did Michael did a contract or a partnership with a company in Australia, while Ned was thinking he was Eddie, and Drew was in prison, and Valentine's, were everywhere else. So Michael stepped in and did what he had to do for ELQ. Now they're going to try to merge again, and why? Why? We know the Quatermains are always fighting about ELQ. Why can't Tracy now take her 1% that she got from Lucy, along with the rest? It's like, why can't they just reinstate Ned as CEO and just leave it? Drew and Michael have Aurora. Ned has ELQ. Why do they have to merge it together? It's just like right where we left off when Ned turned into Eddie. I don't get it. And then he's like, oh, I have something I have to tell you, because it's not, it can't wait, and about the SEC violations. And then all of a sudden, Michael gets the phone call and they talk about the contract in Australia, and it just goes all out the window and they start arguing again. I don't know. I'm not a corporate tycoon, but is that what happens in every family that's corporately? Like, I see in the three major soap operas, I'm still trying to get caught up on Bold and the Beautiful, so please forgive me. But when it comes to GH, Young and the Restless, and Days of Our Lives, you've got, Y&R, you have two different, big companies that are being fought over control, whether it's Newman Enterprises or Jabot, I think it is. And then with Days, you have Demira, and then now it's and ELQ. So there's always something settled, that's there's always something surrounding a company where there's going to be some kind of drama, which is okay. But let's see what kind of direction Ned'll take it in. And he can get the CEO spot because Valentine is dealing with other stuff. I don't know. I don't know.
It doesn't really interest me, like that whole thing. Like, I would just rather the SEC thing come out. Everyone knows about it because they've been dragging it on so long. And I'm tired of Michael throwing Nina dagger looks every 5 seconds. I'm getting tired of that too. That's very repetitive. And they keep having like the same conversation. Like, Nina, I told you can't do this, you can't do that. And I'm just. Now I'm tired of it. Now Michael's looking like a big jerk.
Well,
So
I mean,
it's just
here's the thing. He's blackmailing Nina and said, give my mother back her half of the hotel. And Carly comes out and says, I don't want it. I turned her down.
Then back off, Michael.
Right. So what's he gonna do now? He's got nothing because here's the deal. He's making decisions for Carly and for Willow and the kids without consulting them, and both of them are not going where he wants them to go. Willow and the kids want to see Nina more often and have her in their lives, and Carly doesn't want her to buy her half of the MetroCorp back. So there's an impasse. Michael, what do you really have on Nina now? Nothing.
I'm gonna make a parallel, a similarity distinction between two characters on the canvas right now, which people may or may not like to hear. But I am sensing that both Michael and Spencer are control freaks, and they are trying to do everything in their power to control people around them. It is not working.
You're right, it's not. All right, so
Two friends. Maybe Michael and Spencer should like trade notes.
well, they're
They
related. They are cousins in some blood.
cousins.
They are, well, not by blood. Technically, they're not cousins by blood. But because Sonny adopted Michael, they are cousins. So, because Courtney, Sonny's sister, is Spencer's mom, Michael is not technically blood related to the Corinthos. So, yeah, by blood. or by adoption, I should say. All right, let's move on a little bit. So Curtis goes to Jordan for help and tries to, he wants to look at the shooting himself and look into it himself. He wants to find out who shot him. Now, he used to be a PI. Okay, I get it. But he's asking Jordan, who's now the deputy mayor, not even the commissioner anymore, but he's asking her to turn over evidence to him that she knows that he really can't. And now she's going to go to Laura for help, you know, with it. And Laura's like, go help, go do what you can, you know, take as much time as you can. Let's get to the bottom of this. You know, and how's that going to affect Portia now, knowing that Jordan and Curtis are working so closely together? In doing this, are they going to kiss again? You know, because clearly that shot at the Metro Court scared Zeke away, so Jordan doesn't have a guy anymore. So she's
saying, that was really hot for like that one time it happened. I don't know why I didn't keep that going. I mean,
I think he just got scared away after being shot at.
I guess, but I mean, man, that was something. I was like, okay, Jordan, you go, girl. Like, you got you some after a long time. But I mean, I thought that was good. Maybe a good one somewhere. I don't know. But I think Portia, obviously, they're going to do that on purpose. And Portia might get more and more like suspicious that something might happen, whether it happens or not. I don't know if they're going to go back to that possibly happening. I mean, can they keep it platonic? Can they keep it just friends working together? I don't know. I don't know personally if I care either way, because, right, you know, my likeliness, like, I don't care to like Curtis a whole lot. So just, I'm not like a huge fan of him either way, but I mean,
so
I think I am fond of him trying to get down to who it was. But I think we've already established that even Anna was like, yeah, that bullet was meant for
Sonny.
Wasn't it meant for Sonny? Yeah, it was meant for Sonny. So we know that. So we're trying to figure out who the person was.
Right? Well, now that, you know, she found out the Forsyth guy, you know, maybe that WSB, because didn't they say the gun was WSB issued? Like that's something that seems to have been forgotten or not even built upon. You know, like, who in Port Charles has WSB contacts or can get to WSB gun? Like, that to me seems very suspect. We still haven't gotten an answer about that. It's been over 6 months.
Typical GH.
Typical Port Charles PCPD. Yep. You know, and I don't know. But why couldn't Curtis, like, I don't know. Here's what I think what should have happened. I think that Drew should have offered Curtis help. He's a former Navy SEAL. You know, he and Curtis can be PIs together. And you know, you keep Drew out of the corporate world, out of the Aurora media. You know, let Michael run it like he has been, and let Drew and Curtis kind of set up that thing, or bring Spinelli, or, you know what I mean? Like, go that route instead of always pushing Jordan and Curtis together, and just leave that alone. Yeah. Ask Sam. I thought he and Sam had a PI business at one point. You know what I mean? Like, there's just no rhyme or reason, or, you know, I know it's a soap opera, I get it, but why do you have to go to your ex-wife, you know, instead of an actual PI?
Right. I feel like they did that on purpose, to be honest, just to get Jordan and Curtis in the same room, same atmosphere together.
All right.
And I'm kind of like, why didn't we try to, like, why is he so into this now. I
Right.
feel like it should have been done way sooner.
I agree. Yep. It should have been done way sooner. I agree. All right. So moving right along. Finn goes to Alexis for advice when it comes to his malpractice case. And she says she makes a phone call to Diane. Diane says she'll take it. But then Finn gets some bad news later in the week that Diane is actually going to represent the party, the family of the deceased person who's suing Finn and GH. And she can't help Finn. So who do they call? Martin Gray. And Gregory hires Martin Gray for Finn. I don't know that again. Finn is like just a wet napkin. And I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing something where it gets a little interesting, this malpractice suit. I like that Terry has to be involved, being the being the head, the chief of staff, or co-chief of staff. I like that, they're going to do something different than just watching Finn and Liz together. But I don't know what, how are they gonna do this? Are they gonna have Gregory get massively ill and die during the malpractice situation, and Finn has to be forced to operate, even though it should be a conflict of interest, and he ends up killing his father because he's second guessing himself from the malpractice. I don't know. That's one possible way. And then I like how both Alexis and Diane said, don't trust the lawyers for GH because they're going to throw you under the bus. I mean, that I think that's realistic. I've never been in a malpractice case, but I feel that's how, what it would be. Oh, the hospital's washing our hands. It was his fault.
You're right.
Now, I don't, although my whole thing is I don't know a lot about malpractice, but if he, so apparently the story is this guy comes to Finn. He says to the guy, he says to Finn that I have XYZ symptoms. Finn does all his tests and they say it's a tapeworm, right? So they start treating him for a tapeworm. Then he goes world traveling again, globetrotting, and then comes back and says, oh, well, now I'm having all these other symptoms. And then they say it's stage four cancer and it's terminal. And the guy dies. Are they trying to say that Finn missed the blood work for the cancer, or the fact that he got cancer so quickly after seeing Finn, while he was globetrotting, that, Finn should have seen this sooner, or told him sooner, or told him he shouldn't go to these countries as an infectious disease specialist. I don't know. Like, what's the premise for this malpractice case?
Yeah, they haven't really explained that to us. This kind of just popped up out of the blue. Like, oh, hey, by the way, Finn, you're being sued for malpractice.
Yeah.
Awesome. Great. I mean, like, it's just,
Exactly. It would have been much
I don't
better.
know. I guess they're just trying to give the character of Finn some drama other than us seeing him be infatuated with Elizabeth every second of the day. So
Yeah, I get it. I get
it's
it.
my guess is they're just trying to layer him with some more drama other than his infatuation with Elizabeth and his thing with his father to make it more dramatic, I guess, on his side. I don't know.
Yeah.
I thought he had enough going on with his dad dying and trying to like get Elizabeth to possibly marry him one day, because I feel like that's what his goal is in life. Good luck.
Completely erasing out every other completely erasing the fact that they tried this before and it had so many. They kind of erased the entire first run of this relationship with. They erased Reiko. They erased, her father sleeping with his wife and then pushing her down the stairs and brainwashing Elizabeth not to remember. And like, that was just so
A
ridiculous.
mess. I don't even know why they still are trying this relationship after all of that. Like, it's just so crazy to me that they're still trying to make this like a viable relationship. It's weird considering the history, like the weird family history he has with Elizabeth's family, Elizabeth's parents, not to mention, he's tried to cross all her boundaries, which we just conveniently sweep under the rug. Like, it's fine. Didn't really happen. Or we just forgive and forget type deal. Like,
Doesn't work that way.
no, I'm sorry. I'm just
All
not
right.
into him. I will not be into him. Sorry.
So,
Sorry. I don't care. That's why I don't care about this malpractice suit, because I don't care about him.
right.
I don't care about Finn, so I'm just like, oh well.
So
Good luck.
while
I mean, you had Diane. Now you don't have Diane, so now I guess you're really screwed. So like,
exactly.
Diane's the best in town. Any other lawyer next to Diane is just kind of
Yeah.
like, because Alexis doesn't practice anymore. So it's like,
Yep.
who's really that good other than maybe Scotty? Scotty Baldwin? I don't know.
Yeah, Scotty would be more along the lines of the person suing the hospital than defending a doctor. All right. So while Finn and Alexis may not be a viable couple, let me tell you something. Before we get into this, Nathan just pointed out in chat, hopefully we get a familiar face to break up Finn and Liz. When it comes to these situations, there's always a third person to shake things up. But yes, Finn and Liz together suck.
Yeah. Well, I
While
think
Finn
the
and
only hope of that happening is maybe Nicholas returning.
well, we'll
Maybe that
see.
would shake things up. I don't know.
It could be Nicholas, it could be Hayden, if she returns. But while they're not a viable couple, let's move on to a couple couples that are viable couples that are kind of going wishy-washy. We'll start with Blaze and Christina. Christina inviting Blaze to the family Thanksgiving, because Blaze said that her family was in, Puerto Rico and or the Dominican Republic or whatever the case was, and she didn't have, because of, the tour and the singing and everything, she couldn't have Thanksgiving with family. So Christina invited her over, and the fireworks were going off.
Yeah,
Those,
they're firing on all cylinders for that couple, for sure.
yes, I am definitely in support of hashtag craze. I created that, I coined it, I will trademark it.
Did you were the first person who came up with the hashtag for them on
I
Twitter?
believe I was. I believe I was. Although I put a Y in there. A lot of people think Blaze is just Blaze. I thought it was Blayze. I don't know for sure. Semantics may not matter. But I really enjoy the Blaze and Christina. They have tremendous chemistry. Let me put it that way. And the fact of, it just being so natural for Blaze to be there, especially because Alexis is doing the story on, sexual harassment in the music industry and everything. So it just works.
Yeah.
Molly and TJ came over there. Yeah, Molly was upset, but they haven't. Her and Christina are still on good terms, so that works very well. I don't know. I'm welcome to see where that goes. I'm very happy. I hope that Blaze is not just using Christina because she's Alcazar's daughter and to get to Sunny and this and that. If she is Lila Ray, then that's fantastic. I just don't want it to be some really big thing, about getting to Sunny's kid.
Right. Maybe it's something she finds out after they're in the
Yeah.
midst of a relationship. relationship for a while, and she finds out that she's really
Exactly.
not.
I mean, you know, somebody pointed out at one point, I think it was on X, somebody was pointed out saying, she's been around Brooklyn, she's been around Tracy. Wouldn't somebody recognize her if she was, you know, Skye's daughter? But you know, who knows? You know, because Skye lived at the mansion with Lila Rae numerous times, or you know, for numerous years, I should say. But who knows? You know, maybe because of the name Blaze, they didn't, you know, put two and two together, although that was Luke's name for Skye. Will we see Robin Christian, I think that her name was, the actress who played Skye. Do you think, you know, will we see her come back if this is the storyline? I don't know. Time will tell. But I'm
Yeah.
happy to see crazy I'm happy to see Christina and Blaze on the right path. I thought it was really great with Christina going to see Blaze, you know, sing at the studio. I really like that, her being there for support. All right. So moving on to the next couple in the making, Cody and Sasha, on Thursday's episode. Was it, I think it was Lois's mother that, said that they had such tremendous chemistry and they were, you know, they looked so happy together, and how long have you been together and all this. I get where Sasha's coming from. She wants to take time or whatever. I think it'll be sooner rather than later that they actually will be together. Because, you know, eventually Sasha's going to get to the point where she's, you know, you never get over, you know, your baby dying. You never get over your husband dying. But, you know, at some point you can move on, you know, with your life. And again,
Well,
everybody has.
depending on how old you are, I will say that. Depending on how she's pretty young for a widow. So obviously we're gonna see Sasha move on, but I think it's different for everybody too. But I feel like I've seen older folks who are widows, and I know older folks who've been widows, and they feel like that was it, that was the love of their life, and they're not gonna move on because then they're at a point in their life where they're kind of at a certain age, they don't feel like they need to. So,
Sure.
just want to point that out. Just a
Exactly.
side note.
So while we're on the subject of Gloria, Lois's mom, she's got some kind of problems going on. We get just a snippet of her, you know, having some kind of difficulty with something. And somebody on X pointed out, you know, she's going to only be there for a couple of episodes. Why do we care about her being in a storyline? But you know what? It's okay. Like, Ellen Travolta is a fantastic actor in her own right. She's played, obviously, Gloria, you know, Lois's mom for years now. So bring her back, give her some meat to bite into. And from what I've heard is that Yuri is gonna help her out with whatever problem she has. So it gives Yuri some screen time as well. So it works out either way, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with it. I like it. I like Lois's mom being back and creating a layer of drama there. So it'll be good to see that and see what Lois is going to do and how Yuri's going to be involved, because we really only have seen Yuri with
With the Quatermains.
Yeah, well, no, but with for a few moments with Elizabeth's like bestie, supposed bestie,
Harry.
Terry. I'm sorry, I could not remember her name. Yes, Terry. So it'll be good to see Yuri in a separate storyline. Other than that, hopefully that'll give him more, like we'll get to know more about Yuri through this storyline.
Yes, I agree. And it was so nice seeing Yuri help prepping the food on Thursday in the quartermain kitchen. Because all evidence was pointing to a great Thanksgiving meal until the very end, of course, but no pizza order, no singing. That was kind of funny though. All right, but that's about it. I don't think there really was much more that went on last week. Did you think of anything else?
We had a little cute little like Brooklyn and Chase scene on Friday, I think, with them.
On Thursday.
Was it Thursday?
There was no episode Friday.
There was none. Oh, right. Okay. So they talked and they had that good little bit where she's like, well, I feel bad because like
Yes.
I'm having this great news about my dad and your news with your dad is not so great. And they worked through that in the past. They maybe would have had communication issues with that. So I think it shows growth in maturity in their relationship. And I'm like glad that they're like talking through things and it's just really nice to see them, in that place talking through things and having that mature relationship.
Yep.
So the fact that,
But it also shows Brooklyn's maturity as well, and her
right.
growth
Exactly.
as a person.
Exactly.
You also had Sonny confront Cyrus when Cyrus was on his hands and knees scrubbing the floor at the Port Charles Grill.
Oh, that was fun.
And Sonny just kind of said, listen, if you basically said, you try any of your shit, I'll know about it. And he also confronted him about Mason and Austin and about going after Ava. And of course, Cyrus like, I don't know what you're talking about. He's like, Mason already named you as his boss. Austin already named you as his boss. So cut the shit. But eventually Cyrus's real motives are going to come out. Hopefully that's sooner rather than later now that Austin is dead. Although somebody pointed out, did you notice that they focused on Sonny's shoes as he walked into the door, which were just about similar to the same shoes that walked out of the house in Pawtucket after Austin was killed or shot?
I don't know. I guess they're trying to maybe point that the possibility is it could be Sonny being the shooter, but they could just be doing that as like a,
A
what do they
red
call it? Like a
herring.
red herring. So they're just like they're just doing that to throw us off track, maybe, of
Of
who the
course, yeah.
real
I'm
person
pretty
is.
sure that'll be it. Sonny never gets his own hands dirty.
No, he doesn't do his own dirty work. We know
Right,
that.
exactly. All right, so we really didn't have any movement on the Austin storyline. Mason's run is over as well. So, within one fell swoop, Cyrus had two goons, and now he has none. But who knows? But that's about it of last week's four episode week of General Hospital. How was your Thanksgiving? You got to do something fun, I heard.
I decided to be in the Chicago Thanksgiving Day parade because I was hoping to get a glimpse of Jen Lilly. But because Jen Lilly was the co-host of the Chicago Thanksgiving Day parade. And my position as parade ambassador kind of ended up changing into banner carrier, which is a whole lot harder than it looks. When they carry those fancy banners down State Street, you're like, oh, it's such an easy job. Like, I'll carry a banner. That is hard. Okay. You got to have like arm muscles that I apparently do not have to carry a banner. I mean, if y'all can look up Pluto TV, I'm like the third banner in the parade. Y'all can tell I'm probably not looking that happy. I tried though. I tried to grin and bear it when I could tell a camera was pointed in my face so I didn't look like I was dying. But Yeah, it was a struggle for me to hold up a banner. I had to end up holding it like in the crux of my arm most of the time because it was actually a lot heavier than it looked because there's a pipe that goes through the bottom of the banner and then there's a pipe at the top, which is longer, and that's the one I hold with another person on the other side. So I had to apologize to like my banner partner on the other side because I'm like, I'm sorry, I was struggling through this thing the whole time. Like, I didn't think it was going to feel that heavy. At first, I was like, oh, this is fine. And then after about a minute or two of holding the banner, I was like, oh, this is going to be a problem. So I'm just trying to carry a banner down State Street without passing out in the middle of the Chicago Thanksgiving parade and making the whole parade stop because of one banner carrier. Just when you watch the parade or you watch a parade and like it's not easy. Like if that pipe was maybe made of like styrofoam, I'm sure it would have been a whole lot easier. But they whatever is made from that pipe, this hard plastic or whatever it is, it's a lot heavier than it looks. And so I was trying to see where Jen Lilly was, but by the time I got to the point where I was, where the VIP section was, where Jen Lilly was probably off to the side under some tent or something that I couldn't see, I was like in agony, just like trying to focus on the finish line. Like, okay, I'm almost there where I know I'm going to turn off the street and then give this banner to some guy in a truck. Like, I was just trying to focus on the end, like, goal of the whole thing and try to get myself through it because it was really, really difficult. So, you see me on Pluto TV, the Chicago Thanksgiving Parade, like, yeah, I was struggling there a little bit. So that was one of the hardest jobs I've ever done in my life. And by the time it was over, I literally just wanted to go home. I was so tired. I like thought about hanging out and trying to catch, like trying to hunt down like where Zen Lily might be exiting. But that would have been so hard with all those people there anyway. And I was just like, I'm exhausted. I want to go home. And I literally was in bed for like a day and a half after that. I kid you not. I didn't want to get out of bed. I was really, really tired after that. That was exhausting. They wanted balloon holders too, and I will tell you that might have been just as challenging for me. So, I mean, I barely made it through my one round of banner carrying. They wanted another round of people to go through, and I was like, oh no, bro. No, I cannot do this again. This was so challenging. It was one of the hardest jobs I've ever done. I'm not anything for, I mean, it's not exactly manual labor, but when you're holding something for like 30 minutes straight, and if it's not light and it's got some weight to it, you're gonna feel it after a while. So, it is hard. So if there's a job, if I ever do it again, I'll be like, just give me the job where I wave at people and like give candy to people or something really simple
Well,
that requires no weightlifting whatsoever.
you earned your Thanksgiving dinner at least.
I don't know if I'll ever do that again, but there's crazy things you do, you come up with doing when you're like trying to see somebody that you really like. But I did get a nice message from Jen because I tagged her in a few of my photos, and she said, oh, it was nice to like see pictures of you and I miss you. And I'm like, oh, that was worth it to get a nice message from Jen. So I was.
It's funny that she said that because I actually today I listened to Stephen Bradford's podcast that they had Jen Lilly on as a guest a couple of years ago.
Oh,
Because it's funny because I was listening to it and because I'd gone through their podcast and all the ones I hadn't listened to before and her name popped up and it was from December of 2020. So, right after COVID hit and everything and it's funny because I was listening to it and they were talking about her quarantining in Canada for a Hallmark movie. And I'm like, wait a minute, why are people still quarantining in Canada now? And I'm like, I'll look at the date, December of 2020. Oh, that's right. Okay. That makes sense.
yeah, I think they had a quarantine for like 2 weeks when they went to the movies.
Yep, that's what it was. If you crossed
Canada, there was like that was back then where you had to quarantine for 2 weeks in order to like shoot a movie and do the whole thing. I mean, yeah, but I know Jen was working on her Christmas was not canceled when she was doing all that quarantine. She was working in that hotel room wherever she was. So I know she works hard for that stuff. And I think it's today and tomorrow they're doing double the entries and like for anything you buy, whether it's a toy or a merch item on christmasisnotcanceled.com, which is her organization. She does twice a year in like July time and around the holidays to raise money for Toys for Tots. So it's a great organization. I really am supportive of that for her, and I hope she reaches her goal of toys.
Yeah, no, absolutely. All right, but all right, so we've been on here for a little over an hour now, and we'll get to our thankful minute in just a little bit. But before we get to that, I do need to circle back because I didn't give it enough momentum at the very beginning. CM Punk re-signed with the WWE, came out at Survivor Series at the very, very end. And let me tell you something, Triple H basically solidified himself as Booker of the Year this year with that, because here's the deal. At the end of the War Games match, he did go ahead and have them put up the little logo in the bottom about, it being the end of the show. And then after, as that was going on, you hear the beginning chords of Cult of Personality, and sure enough, CM Punk comes out. I think there was just a collective scream of holy shit by just about everybody watching, because nobody thought that would happen. Of course, the rumors were rampant because Survivor Series was in Chicago on Saturday, and CM Punk lives in Chicago on Saturday, that he would be there. And apparently there was no talks with WWE and CM Punk until that week. Triple H and CM Punk sat down to have an hour-long conversation to put everything out there, get it past everything. Bygones be bygones. As CM Punk was in the walkway, Seth Rollins was, being held back by security. That was apparently part of a work. It was not part of a shoot. They are both professionals. They can work together. And I'm sure you could probably hear the tears hitting the ground of Tony Khan, from Jacksonville, because he fired his most popular wrestler because of some idiot who wanted to be more like an indie wrestler. But that's neither here nor there. I will not get into that because Jack Perry deserves no promotion, on this show. All right. So as we go ahead and move on to our thankful minute, let's just remember that anybody who's watching now on YouTube, go ahead, hit subscribe, like the show, and get notified. So anytime anything gets posted, you'll get notified. And if you're listening on the podcast feed, go ahead, give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. All right. Also, look in the future. I am going to be starting a cooking show. I'm officially, as of now, a Pampered Chef official consultant. So if you're looking to buy Pampered Chef products, come to me. And I will be starting to do YouTube shorts or YouTube videos regarding cooking with Pampered Chef products. So that'll be coming up very soon. All right, let's move on to our thankful minute. As always, Christy, ladies first. I will set my timer for 60 seconds and go right ahead.
Okay. Well, let's see. I am grateful for my parents. I'm grateful for being back home in Chicago. I did get to see my aunt while I was here. And I got to see my friend, a friend of mine today that I haven't seen in a long time. So I'm grateful for that. I am grateful for, as crazy as it was, I got to be in the Chicago Thanksgiving Day Parade, which not a lot of people can say, even though it was a challenge. I did it, and I'm proud of myself for that. I made it down State Street for 30 minutes without passing out, which I think is a feat. And I also got to volunteer for my favorite band for King and Country, who has a movie coming out about their family's journey to America called Unsung Hero. I got to volunteer at their little like photo op for their movie, which is coming out. Well, early access is April 24th. The movie comes out April 26th. So happy I got to volunteer doing that this week as well. So it was a good trip. I rested a lot after Thanksgiving and saw a Blackhawks game. They lost, unfortunately, but I got a Chick-fil-A sandwich out of it. So it was good, good times, good times with family. I'm grateful for times the good times with family, and I'm gonna be more grateful to be back home with my fur babies tomorrow night.
Good. All right. Fantastic. Well, I will go ahead and do mine going now. So tonight, if you listen to Take Two Radio Soaps in Review, I was not on there. I've been on Monday nights babysitting my niece. I am thankful for that little girl. There's just so many reasons why I'm thankful for her. But I posted right before this, right before the show, I posted on Facebook how, how great it is and how fulfilling it is and rewarding to babysit her, especially, she's 11 months old. She'll be a year next month. And just when you're trying to put her to sleep and she looks up at you with your with those big beautiful eyes, and how you realize that she's learning from from us as family who are watching her, and just that she knows she only knows what we're showing her, and just how you just feel the pure love from a baby. Which is lost in this day and age with m the majority of adults in this world. But that's my, what I'm thankful for. I should be on the next Take Two Radio in 2 weeks. I don't for I believe this is my last week watching my niece. I'm not sure about that, but I'll keep everybody posted. All right, so we're done. I want to thank everybody for watching again. Go ahead and subscribe, get notified, like the video. And if you're on listening on the podcast feed, thank you for listening. Give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts because that'll help get the algorithm up there as well. We're trying to push the push to get viewers and get subscribers. But thank you all for listening. Thank you all for watching. I'm Vinny. This is Christy. We'll be back next Monday. Live, 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Pacific, and on those mountain times, you're at 8 p.m. So thank you, and we'll see you all next week, right here on Suds in the Squared Circle. Have a great day, everybody.